This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome home, Milers, and welcome back to another episode of Mickey Miles and More, a podcast where three friends talk about their passion for the Disney parks. I'm Chris Eliopoulos, and with me, as always, is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hey, Doc.
Hello, Christopher. That's how we say Christopher in New England, in Boston.
And Little Italy, I think, too.
Christopher. Hey, Christopher, we are all three vaccinated pals.
We are.
Twice vaccinated. I got my last one, so I'm really super excited.
We're all set.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
what are we? Moderna. I'm Moderna. What is Mike?
I'm a Pfizer, baby.
Pfizer. I wanted, before we introduce this person in the background, I wanted to give Christopher a shout out because this really cool thing happened. I think it was like 2 weeks ago where my former dean actually sent me a note and she said, don't you know this Chris Eliopoulos? Because she was at NBC or CBS. She saw this story where a really cute and funny and knowledgeable autistic boy who loves your books was given an illustration that you created. And I thought it brought a tear to my eyes. And I just want to give you a shout out. Was it NBC, CBS?
It was NBC Nightly News. And the young boy had started doing book reviews and he has a bit of a stutter. And so for him, it takes a lot of courage to stand up and speak. So he gave up a book report in school and then his mother recorded our review and he did a couple more and then my partner Brad got in touch and then NBC really loved seeing the interaction on Twitter and invited them on to have a conversation and like an hour before they actually recorded he was like, quick, draw the kid. And
we love your watercolors and your drawings and everything like that. But to see, if you watch that story and see how he just lit up. So I think you're awesome. And I think those illustrations in those books are just phenomenal. So you don't need me to say it. I'm not an expert, but
I
do work with kids. And that was a kid who was really touched and he'll remember that.
So, yeah, I mean, this is what I love doing. That's my favorite part is to make sure that we're helping the next generation do better than we did. So speaking of generations, let's talk to the last three generations. Our good friend Mike Scopa, how's it going, old man?
Hey, Chris. You know that what Michelle just talked about reminds me of glaciers and icebergs.
Why is that?
Well, you know how they say that if you're looking at a glacier or an iceberg, you see what's above the water. You see maybe 1/6, I think it is, 1/6 of what it actually is. So in the same regard, we don't see all the children that you touch.
Sounds wrong. Don't say it like that.
So yeah.
Impact.
Yeah. So, impact. So we don't know how many, so kudos to you because, there are people out there who aren't as fortunate as that young boy, but you still touch them. So I'm saluting you for that.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's a great thing to do. Michelle has seen me go and do school visits, and to see like 400 kids realize they can draw and that they're special just as much as anybody else. Is well worth everything that I do. So
well, also considering that you are a self-proclaimed kind of shy person.
Oh
to
yeah.
See you command a room of elementary kids, which is something I spend 4 years teaching my student teachers how to do.
Yeah,
it was tough.
Really it was, cool. I'll tell you.
You
know,
do a good job. You really do, and I evaluate people's teaching. So
well, that's a thing. It's like it's a learned thing. I didn't know how to do this at first, and public speaking was not. I used to tell the joke. There was a Seinfeld joke that there was a study done that of people. That if you were going to a funeral based on the results, most people would rather be in the casket than delivering the eulogy. They hate public speaking that much. And I was in that category where I did not want to do that. And so I learned how to do it. And, the kids make it easy because they're just a joy all the time. It's so much fun and we get to play and So, but enough of my nonsense. We're actually going to come back and talk a little bit more about the Disney parks opening up. I will give a little bit of news. I did pull the trigger and did reorder my annual pass. So that is, and so we're there. You know, I spend every day trying to figure out if anything is changing, if the parks are opening up more. My big things are park hopping and hours. So Mike, is there been any major updates, or is there everything pretty calm so far?
So, you know, week? Chris, as of probably today, the park operating hours calendar right now is all filled out up until July 3rd. And for some reason, it stops there. So anyone can go on to look at that calendar and you can see the park operating hours. But, you know, for those, and I know you're going in August, you can't see the park operating hours. There is a feeling that they will be expanding, or that they will be continuing at least to what they are now. So we don't know yet what it's going to be in most of July and August. We do know what the park operating hours are going to be in June. Who knows if they're going to change, but right now we're at July 3rd.
Yeah, so July 3rd is usually when they do the first set of, 4th of July fireworks. So what are the hours on July 3rd? Do you happen to know?
I don't
Sorry.
Thanks, Michelle. But I'm
thinking like that would be maybe a window into what's coming next and what might happen in July 4th.
I'm thinking that most of the hours are the parks will open up around 8 o'clock, and I mean, don't quote me, but it's usually 8 o'clock till either 10 or 11. But I think it's 10 for most of June, so we'll see.
Well, that would promote people who want to walk around at night.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, are they still doing extra magic hours?
Well, they got rid of the extra magic hours, and so let's think about extra magic hours. Remember, I used to have this memorized. No, on Monday it was this park. On Tuesday it was this park. On Wednesday it was this. That's all gone. There are no more extra magic hours, and they are saying they will not return. However, they now have something that's going to be called early theme park entry hours. And what that means is that if you are staying on property, you can go to any park on any day of the week 30 minutes earlier. It's not 1 hour, but it's 30 minutes early than the published opening bell hours. So keep that in mind. And
breaking news. Magic Kingdom is open until
9
p.m. on July 3rd. I've got also 9 p.m. Studio 7, Animal Kingdom 7.
Interesting. Okay.
7. Okay. But yeah, so no more magic hours for those who aren't aware. It's now early entry, but it's only a 30-minute advance rather than a 1 hour advance. So my suggestion would be, if you're staying on the property and you want to take advantage of it, I would get there an hour before the operating hours are. So for instance, on July 3rd, if you're going to the Magic Kingdom and you're staying on property, it says 9 o'clock, I would be there at 8 o'clock in the morning, just to, because they may open up early.
Yeah, I would think that, and plus you want to meet the crowds anyway, right?
Yeah.
So many people get in there, but...
Yeah.
So what's this now I'm seeing? The beacons of light? What is this stuff that I'm not aware of?
So they have not been announcing very much regarding the 50th. But one of the things that we will definitely visually see is that the Cinderella Castle, the Spaceship Earth, the Hollywood Tower, and the Tree of Life will all have special beacons of light. There will be special orbs that will be placed on each one of these icons, and they will be lit during the 18-month celebration, which will start October of this year and go all through the end of March 2023. they are just going to be glimmering, shimmering lights. But one interesting thing is that they have no intentions of removing them from Spaceship Earth once the celebration is over. As a matter of fact, last time I checked, they had 75 of these lights already installed on Spaceship Earth. I'm not sure if that's the total number that will be on that icon, but they've done that. And they're calling that the Beacons of Light for the celebration, 50th celebration.
So they just light up? And there's no like dancing lights or anything like that that we're aware of?
I think they're going to shimmer. That's okay. All I heard. They're going to shimmer.
Okay.
Shimmer. So we'll see.
Well, when you want to go in to see all of these shimmering beacons of magic, how are you getting in? Because are they getting rid of, you know, I was thinking with the pandemic now, we always used to have to put our fingers down. I used to hate it because I always feel like the germs and stuff like that. How are we, are they doing facial recognition coming up now? Is that the...
We talked about that in the past, Chris. I'm not sure if there's going to be old school way of going in with the finger plus the magic band, or we're just going to, it's going to be facial recognition and that. And well, of course, we're going to have this magic mobile option, which we would have our annual passes or our admission media on our smartphones or smart watches. So I think it's going to be a little bit of this and a little bit of that until further notice. I'm not sure if. Maybe there will be two. I'm guessing facial recognition and using Magic Mobile. But there's so many things that are in transition now. It's very hard to say it's going to be this, it's going to be that. Lots of changes, lots of things. There's so much things going through transitioning down there that it's really hard to say on this date we'll be doing this. But just everyone needs to be ready to do anything, I guess.
It seems like the facial recognition is kind of ubiquitous. You know,
yeah,
it's on pretty much every device we have now. So it's not like a huge like technology jump or something that people aren't used to doing when they go through.
Yeah, and I don't know if we'll have a choice, and I don't know if that will be available at every park. Mm-hmm. From what I understand right now, it may be available this year only at Magic Kingdom, but we'll see.
So Chris, did you put your passes on your Apple Watch?
Well, what's interesting, and that's why I at some point wanted to have like a walkthrough with you on the whole thing. I put mine on there for mine, but the whole family has their own watch and phone, which they normally bring with them. So I was thinking that they each should individually put their, I was wondering, can you do that? Like, can I have their passes on mine and theirs? Can we put it on both?
When I set up mine, there was an option to add another person.
Right.
So yes, I think yes, that like one person in the family can hold.
Because I'm just imagining one of my kids or my wife forgetting to bring her watch one day, and then we get all the way to the park, and then you go, oh no.
Yeah. No, I think you can put it in your wallet, and then they'll all be on your watch. You
especially
can just scroll through.
Yeah. Yes, especially if Michelle, especially if they're on your My Disney Experience. I think that's the key right there. Because they're connected to you.
Yeah.
So does that mean that he would put his watch up against the mouse ear and the other three don't have to do
well,
that?
Well, I don't think it's going to be the mouse ear because that's like, you know.
Hidden Mickey. Or
yeah, I think it's going to be a QR code.
Right.
So.
Don't you just hold up your watch and
scan
it?
Yeah, so I think he's going to have four QR codes.
Right.
So I'm looking at mine right now.
Very interesting.
There's a QR code. I think he'll be able to scroll through his whole family. So it'll be, you'll put your watch in a reader and the QR code will come up.
So what if Justin and Jeremy want to go to Epcot one morning and Audra and Chris want to go to Magic Kingdom?
It's a good question. So I think on a lot of the, like when I had the AMC A-list, you could, if I bought... tickets, I could share them with other people. So if I was going to the movies with Liam, I could share that ticket with him. So I bet that there's going to be a way to share the pass with another person.
Yeah. Like I was wondering, like I said, if they have it on their phones, would I still be able to have it on mine as well, just to sort of as a safety backup? But I don't see why not.
Yeah.
Right.
So another question is so what if you want to bring another member of your family and they just take Jeremy's watch. So that's what the, you know, the biofeedback stuff has been able to prevent with the fingerprinting.
Yeah, sharing of.
So I don't know. Maybe it'll be a combination of that QR code and facial recognition.
Yeah, I think we just have to do a little bit more research. And again, this is another one that's in transition, right? We're going to be going to a different app at some point in the near future. But the other thing that's changing is the mobile order service, right? So some locations are opening up from what I hear, Mike.
So I think this is another one of those things, Chris, where the objective here is to help the revenue stream. And I think that if you have long queue lines of people waiting to order a hot dog at Casey's, it's going to take a while. But if you have the mobile order option, then you can eliminate waiting and they can make refreshment and eating sales much, much quicker. So sure. One of the interesting things is that I think, Michelle, when we were there last year, we could do that back then. They were testing it in certain areas. I think Casey's was one. But now it's growing. And the last time I checked, they had something like 42 locations throughout the Walt Disney World Resort where you can do this by going online and ordering whatever you need to do and then go up to whatever the place has, like it may have a special window or whatever, and boom, there's your order. So
I think in times of COVID, this is like, again, everybody does it. But is that on the My Disney Experience app? Okay.
Yes, it is.
I've actually never done it. I don't usually eat at the fast food.
Yeah, so you can bypass the queue line, you know,
at the restaurant. I think I was trying to figure it out. Again, I've always found that the app tends to be a bit glitchy at times, or at least it used to be.
Yep.
And I remember I was trying to try it out on the first, like when it just started, like I think we were actually down in the parks when they first made it available. And I was having so much trouble connecting and making an order that I got frustrated and just stopped using it. So I might have to go back and figure it out. Cause it does, it works great when you can just, especially if you're on the go, you just grab it and keep going. But it begs the question, Mike, do we even know, did we talk about this before? The new app is called the Disney Genie, is that correct? When is that coming?
So no, first off, they obviously have increased the number of servers that will be needed to handle all the I/O dealing with the My Disney Experience. At the same time, they are experimenting, and hopefully sometime this year, they will be launching another app called Disney Genie. And what that will do, it's going to be separate from My Disney Experience. It's another app. And what this app is supposed to be able to do is to allow you, the guest, to understand how things are in all the parks, how the crowds are, how the queue, the waiting line is. It's almost like having, I think what they call those leaderboards or whatever they used to they have in the parks. Well, I believe they're going to have up-to-date information on queue lines and things like that. So you can figure out where you want to go, what you want to do. Again, it's almost something that, to me, I think replaces, at least for the time being, fast pass lines. You get an idea, well, I don't want to go to this attraction because it's a 45-minute wait. I'll go to this one because it's a 30-minute wait.
I would love to have that on my watch, to never take out my phone.
Yeah.
So to be able to just pull that up and, you know.
Disney Genie, it's been talked about for 2 years. So I believe that they're talking more about it now because they are probably testing it right now. So that's going to be the second app.
Do you think, this is pure conjecture, that with this new app and the way things are going, they're getting rid of fast passes, do you think they might switch off to the virtual queues like they do for Rise of the Resistance throughout all the parks and use the app in order to do that?
I think that they are learning a lot from that virtual queue, Chris. There were some things that worked, some things that didn't work. I think that they will probably move in a very slow pace for that, and will think about which attractions that virtual queue would be best to serve. I think Ratatouille may be one of those. I think that the Runaway, what's it called? Runaway Train, Runaway Mickey's. Yeah, and in the studios, I think that there are going to be these high volume attractions that might be candidates for it. I think the mountains in the Magic Kingdom are going to be candidates. I think that that's going to happen. I think they're going to try to figure it out. I think that with all the crowds and all the subliminal efforts by Disney to keep the crowds down, they're doing whatever they can to make sure that you're not in line in your, and this is my own opinion, your wallet is not idle. So they want you to be able to run around and do a lot of things and not be standing in line for a while. So I think yes, I think the answer is yes, but I think it's going to come very slowly.
I like the way, you know, they do soft openings to test things out. And I like the way they roll things out carefully. And then if it works, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We're trying to keep things moving. And so what we're going to do is we're going to just pick up one bullet point from each of the parks right now. And so, Mike, what's the status on the walkway from the Grand Floridian to the Magic Kingdom?
So the three of us wanted to talk about all of these things that have changed over the last year that we wanted to put a positive spin on 2021 and say, hey, we're going to be going back. These are all these neat little things that are happening. And one of the neatest things that opened recently was the walkway to the Magic Kingdom from the Grand Floridian. So you can now walk to and from the Magic Kingdom, and you don't have to worry about taking a boat or taking the monorail or whatever. So you can go right to the Ticket and Transportation Center, walking right from Magic Kingdom. And to me, that is something that I think would be a delightful walk after a long day in the Magic Kingdom. One of the things I hate is leaving the Magic Kingdom at night, waiting in line to get on the ferry, waiting in line to get on the monorail. I am delighted to walk that, whatever it is, 2 miles or whatever it is, to the Ticket and Transportation Center. So that's been open for a while. And I just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of that. That's just another option when you're going to or you're leaving Magic Kingdom.
And I think it opens up some really cool options for races. Does this mean that maybe we could have a Magic Kingdom 5K? Does this mean that we could forego Cone Alley and go a loop around all the Magic Kingdom and out through the Grand Floridian?
That'd be an interesting, fun change.
That's usually the
least liked area is that Cone Alley where we all get jammed in there. And so it'd be nice to have, and the view would be great, you know?
It'd be awesome, awesome. I think, you know, the 5K around Epcot has been really fun. It'd be really, really cool to do like a Magic Kingdom 5K where you're...
Yeah, even the half marathon goes from Epcot to the Magic Kingdom and back, and it might be nice to have that pathway be part of it. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when we first talked about that, Michelle, I thought, no, that wouldn't work. But then I thought about how wide Cone Alley is, and Cone Alley is not that wide.
No, it's horrible.
So that path may be okay, and there's a certain point where you come out of, I think it's right near the... I would say you come right out near where the Wedding Pavilion is, and you can go back right up onto World Drive, and then you're going back. So that's a possibility, and that might be something that they really like, because that means that when you're running up Main Street and you're going around, you're going through Tomorrowland and Frontierland, once you get, well, either you're going to come out, I guess you're just going to run around the castle and come out again. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe go through Frontierland. You'd usually go out near Splash Mountain, but go down near Pirates and go out.
That's a possibility, yeah.
The thing I was thinking about with that is that maybe that would mean that there are no people cheering on Main Street USA because you're coming in one way and you're going out the other way.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's something that we'll be looking for. But that walkway, I think, is just that's a long time coming.
Awesome.
Long time.
Speaking of Epcot, so when my kids were 5 years old, as part of our plan that we got, you know, with the hotel and the park tickets and stuff, they gave you a free legacy tile. And I was very disappointed to see that they had been removed. But, Mike, you're going to tell me that there's something different than being removed.
Yeah, what's interesting is that I wasn't sure about what they were going to do with those tiles and stuff. But what they have done is they've taken all those ugly things and they've actually created a wall, and I believe the wall is to the far left as you're looking at the entrance to Epcot. And along that wall, and they've got all different colors and lights on there, is where everybody's tile, and I think my tile should be up there too. Who knows where it is? But so they didn't want to say to people, hey, you know, thanks for spending money and buying a tile, we're getting rid of them. They're all there. I don't know if they still sell them. I don't know if they do. They also have the Walk Around the World bricks that are all over the place too. So they've moved them to the left. So for those of you listening who purchased one a long time ago, it's still there. I'm not sure how you find it, but it's going to be somewhere, I believe, on the left side as you walk in.
It should be fun to go and refine it, because every time we go say hello to our five-year-old son's pictures on there. So it'll be a fun little search this time around. Let's go over to Hollywood Studios. Is there something? Are they? Because I go from the Yacht Club and I run up to the Disney Hollywood Studios entrance and come back. Am I going to see a new site when I go up there?
Well, last year or so, they were planning on doing something with the entrance to Hollywood Studios, and that involved also enlarging the parking lot. One of the security guards mentioned to me that they were going to move the entrance up a couple hundred feet. I don't think a couple hundred feet was going to happen, but maybe about 150 feet. So the new entrance that they've been working on should be something new for people to see when they go in. And there's not much happening in the studios other than the new entrance. I guess the Chinese theater is going to have some new lighting effects. And other than that, the other thing that everybody's waiting for as far as the studios goes is the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel. And I believe that with all the stuff that's been going on, that's been really quiet lately. But I do believe that they are going through all the process they need to do to get cast members ready and to run that hotel. So I would not be surprised if in the next 4 to 6 months we hear of an opening date for that hotel.
Very cool.
And then over at the Animal Kingdom, Michelle, I think, are you one of the people that told me you love the Festival of the Lion King?
I do. I love it. I can see it 100 times. It's wonderful.
Yeah. So I hear finally it's returning. Is that true?
So in May, there's going to be some type of celebration of Festival of the Lion King. So they're going to be doing some type of promotion in Animal Kingdom. And then I believe in June or July, it will reopen. I do believe that when they open, there will be some adjustments in the seating, so that there will be social distancing. I also have heard something along the line that the show is being changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. Most of the stuff that we like is going to be there. I don't know if the monkeys are going to be there. I hope they are.
the best part.
I mean, they really pack people into that. Yeah. So
that's going to be significant when that show opens, because I think that when that show opens, Chris and Michelle, I think that's sort of taking the lead for the other shows, you know, like Finding Nemo and a lot of the other shows.
Will the monkeys be wearing masks?
I don't know.
Well, here's the funny part, right? Don't they always like get the whole crowd to do the sounds of the animal they're supposed to be? If everybody's screaming out like an elephant or something like that, it's not going to really work when you got somebody sitting in front of you, right in front of you. But
and they're going to have the kids parading, they have the kids parading around too.
So that covers the parks. There's one other thing that I wanted to mention before we close out the show today, which is one of our, as a family, our line in the sand things about going or not going is the monorail. Is there any news that will change our minds in the coming weeks or months, Michael?
So the monorail has been sort of out of commission for a while because of a few things. The biggest thing, of course, is that they demolished the monorail station at the Polynesian, and they're rebuilding that. And it's supposed to be really spectacular when they finish doing that. The Polynesian is supposed to open, I believe, in late August. So my guess is that prior to that opening, they will probably have the monorail back in commission sometime in July. But we'll see. And I wondered if there was a connection between the walkway being opened and the monorail being out of commission. So it's just another option. So June, July, and August is going to be really interesting because a lot of things are going to be reopening, and then we'll probably find out more information about the 50th and all that kind of stuff. So,
well, this is all good news, and it's helping me be a little bit more comfortable in the choice that we're making here. So we have a lot more information that we're probably going to cover next week. But so in the meantime, I'm going to wrap it up there. And that's the latest from our news. If you want to continue the conversation, please join us on our Facebook page at Mickey Miles Podcast or Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod. For Dr. Michelle Scrivener-McLean, Mike Scopa, I'm Chris Eliopoulos. We'll see you on the road, in the parks, and welcome home.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.